Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, 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 we have finally reached the point that we get to talk about live action sports here in the fall slash winter season of Carey Athletics in 2024. Hi there, and welcome to Crusader Talk. My name's Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford running the board for us tonight from our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. If you ever want to listen to us live, if you're listening to us in podcast form right now, we are live Mondays at 7 right here on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3. Josh, the long-awaited time has come where we get to recap things that we actually saw and heard on the field, the court, the diamond, whatever you want to call it. And boy, it feels good to finally be back.
It's here. It's here. I'm not going to lie. I guess I'm ready. I'm sort of ready. I don't even know what day it is, what week it is, what month it is. I'm not sure what it feels like. I think my body feels like it's April and it's August. So I have been just... It's just been nonstop caffeine today. I don't know if I went too hard this weekend, like just trying to relax this weekend, but then had too much fun. You ever have the weekend where you get to Monday and you're like, wait a minute, I need to be back at work so that I can recover from the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. I drove my wife to Memphis for now this, you know, so-called baby moon thing that's a thing.
Yes.
So she wanted to go see my sister who lives in Memphis. And so she's like, I want to hang out with family. I want to see people. I want to see our friends, John and Erica, who live up near Batesville. I was like, well, you're not driving to Memphis by yourself. Because my sister lives in Memphis. That's like saying, hey, I want to go to downtown Jackson. It's like, no, you're not going to downtown Jackson by yourself. So I drove her to Memphis, you know, south of Memphis. Sister picked her up, did the weekend thing, then drove all the way back yesterday. So
hey, driving makes you tired. I don't know what it is. You may be sitting the whole time, but it's tiring.
Yeah, so... I will be ready. I always say this. I get the question like, high school football for me starts Friday. They're like, are you ready? I'm like, no, but I don't have to be ready till Friday at 7.
That's right.
I'll be ready Friday at 7. Are you ready? Not yet. So for William Carey Soccer, I'm not ready yet, but I'll be ready Wednesday.
That's
for
right.
The men's match.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it seems like it gets, I will say this. I think it gets quicker here, quicker and quicker every year.
Every year. It really does, especially when we have good guests on in the summer. By the way, just to add one more note to your conversation about baby moons, that's a thing now, but also you got to be ready for that push present. Are you aware of that?
Oh, no.
Clayton, who's in studio, push present?
Push presents are big.
Yes.
That's important.
Push
Very
presents.
Important.
So a present for the wife for pushing that baby out, even if it's a C-section.
All right. You're going to have to help me. People are laughing right now. In radio and podcast land, what are the price points of this? Is it based on the hours of
remember,
delivery?
Remember,
probably personal preference.
Remember the rules of how much your salary should go towards an engagement ring. Think, I don't know.
No. Okay,
Michael Scott 10 times, right?
Man, you got me nervous.
3-year salary.
That's it. We could talk later about ideas of that. Maybe get
push
on Pinterest.
Presents,
a push
folks.
Present. And if your wife didn't hear about it before, she knows now.
And we're keeping you up to date, not only with William Carey Athletics, but with the trends.
Yes, the
societal trends.
The new social norms.
Dalton, are you following this?
No,
he's not. He's not. He's like, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Blinders.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
All right. One thing we're not ignorant about is how William Carey Athletics are now back on the calendar, and we already have results in. Had volleyball on the road this past weekend. Also, Carey men have now 2 games under their belt. Women's team had their first match of the year last night. Clayton and I were there to consume both of those. That's why I brought him into the studio, just to kind of talk about things a little bit. But Clayton, I know you and I are both in the same boat here when we first got out there. One, it was a hot, hot day.
Boiling.
I looking at the thermometer in my car as I'm about to get out and say, it's 99 on that thing. It's like, man, maybe my car just never cooled off from, you know, sitting in the driveway baking all day. No. It was every bit of 99 and then feels like it was like 104. I just told Clayton during the broadcast at one point, I said, I'm glad we do not play on turf. Because imagine having that just soaked in and radiating right there at your face?
Yeah, the turf this summer for HFC was brutal. Every single time they played, the real feel out there had to have been 120, it seemed like anyway.
Yeah. So, one, we were sweating our ever-loving minds off during that women's match. All of a sudden, about half the field is shaded towards the end, and we get to the guys' match, and it's completely dark playing under the lights. It had to be a 20-degree swing. It was honestly pleasant to be out there for the men's match.
Definitely.
So, because that little north wind rolled in.
A little bit of that. So, for those of you that are thinking about coming out to Danny Owens Field on Wednesday night as William Carey's men's team will be playing, you will likely have better conditions than what we had on Sunday night. So, just a forewarning, that can be what you have to look forward to as William Carey hosts LSU Alexandria. Here in Hattiesburg. All right, let's start chronologically as far as soccer is concerned. Women's match, not only was it a hot one temperature-wise, but it was in the opposite direction, a little cold for a start for William Carey. I was really surprised from what we know of William Carey soccer, the fast pace, the keeping possession the whole time basically. First half, we did not see that one bit.
Yeah, no, Xavier's a really good team. They played really well in the midfield, and we saw them do that in the opening round of the national tournament last year as well. They bring a lot of those same players back. They bring that same playing style back and really made it tricky for Danny and his squad that first half. You know, the goal from Faye Butterworth was just another fantastic free kick. Saw her hit a free kick very similar to that in the national tournament last year. But it was just that midfield four that Xavier has that just really made it tricky for Danny's bunch. And it took him 45 minutes to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. By the way, didn't I do a proper introduction, although Clayton's been here a time or two. Clayton Rush, color analyst for William Carey Soccer, former Crusader as well. Actually, he's always a Crusader. Once a Crusader,
once
always
a Crusader. Always a Crusader.
But he and I got to do the games last night, and Danny even said it himself. It took about 20 minutes just to figure out what they were doing and then 45 minutes to really respond.
Yeah.
They came out in that second half, and then all of a sudden, it was on. They were down 1-0 at half.
Yep.
And that was kind of a wake-up call both for us and I believe for Danny's girls as well. We really were struggling to see who were going to be the players that stand out and take the shots or get the shots and can connect. And during halftime, when you and I were talking off mic, we're like, is this a national championship caliber team? That first half didn't make you think so. But then they came out and they established their dominance again. They played true William Carey women's soccer that we've come to know since 2018 of just possessing the ball for 90% of a match, but just condensed that into one half.
Yeah, they started dominating the game for sure in the second half. You saw the midfield really start to come together, really start picking some passes apart and picking some players apart. And then, of course, Christina Salmon with the opening goal. You knew it was going to come from a player like her, you know, big game player from last year, really one of the best players in the country, gets the scoring started for the Crusaders. And then after that, the goals just kept dropping, and you saw a almost perfect blueprint of what you come to expect from a Danny Owens coach team.
Take us through that 73rd to 78th minute, though, where three goals in a five-minute stretch that blew this thing wide open.
Yeah, it was just one of those just bits of brilliant soccer that you saw from Carey. I mean, you saw it many times last year, Josh. You and I were in plenty of games where you saw similar situations, and it was just the beautiful game of just the 1-2-touch passing. Xavier could not get on the ball, could not knock Carey off the ball, and there was just nothing Xavier could do to stop that midfield three or four of Karen Vallow, of Christina Decker coming off the bench, Virginia Mesa, Zalma Torres up top, and Christina Salmon. Xavier just had no answer.
They really didn't. They also had a player sent off for her second yellow, but that was after the first four goals had been scored of the match for Carey. So was it a non-factor? For all intents and purposes,
the game was
yes.
Done at that point.
The game was already well in hand, but it just, like you said, it just turned into that we're playing our game, and there's nothing you can do to stop it right now.
That's exactly right. And you know, going forward, I think that's that second half of the game is what you have to look for from your squad. If you're Danny, I mean, you have to expect that type of play every single game, because again, you're going to get the best game from every team in the country that comes into Hattiesburg.
By the way, I had a fun time trying to learn how some of these names are pronounced prior to the match. One player that you're going to have to keep your eye on, although you're only doing a men's match Wednesday, so you won't have the girls to worry about, but I will tell you a funny story real quick. I went out and talked to Essa, as she's known, new player, transferred in from Oklahoma, and she's a beast.
What a player. Yeah,
very
player.
Fast runner. But Tom and I went out there to ask her how she pronounced her last name. Her first name is Esselina. She goes by Essa. I'm going to show you her name, and you're going to understand the second half of my story. But we asked her, how do you pronounce her last name? And the first thing she did was giggle and go, oh, my last name? And then we eventually got it, but I'll give you my best effort at it when we come back. Talking with Clayton Rush, Josh and I are about William Carey Soccer. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of closing remarks about the women's first game, but then we'll also recap the men's first two matches of the season. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, continuing to talk about women's soccer, and then we'll get over to Coach Farrell's squad. I mentioned earlier we're going in chronological order. I completely ignore the fact that the guys had a match on Thursday last week.
Yeah.
So technically, we're going out of order. So we'll start with women, then we'll go back to men and do theirs in chronological. But to finish that story about Esselina, she smiled and she said, oh my God, and then said it for us, and then he said, but you can just say this other version. So it's spelled, yeah, pull it up, or do you still have it handy, Clayton? It's G-A-L-E-K-H-U-L-T-L-E, or I may have added an L in there.
G-A-L-E-K-H-U-T-L-E.
Yeah, I added an extra L in there. So she goes, Halikutle. And Tom and I looked at each other like, all right.
That's going to be a
problem. Essa.
Essa's your name.
Essa it
you
is.
Go by Essa.
No, but for all proper ways, you know, I asked her to say it again, Halikutle. And I said she made a concession. She said, but you could just say Galakoodle. I said, no, that's not your name.
Now, I've got to give Tom credit. Tom, when she scored, Tom almost played it almost perfectly. I'll give him a 99% success factor.
It's like maybe the last syllable was a little bit off, but like everything else, he went
Nailed it.
Yeah. So 5-1, the final score, by the way. I didn't give that earlier. So after being down 1-0, they come back, score 5 unanswered, and win it. And we mentioned it was entirely different first and second half. Carey committed 7 fouls. Xavier committed 8. And Xavier got off 4 shots to William Carey's 10, but they had one go in. Second half, though, Carey only allowed 1 shot from Xavier.
That's what you expect.
Two fouls from Danny's bunch.
Right.
So that really describes the switch that happened from half number 1 to 2.
I was wanting to, when you mentioned the tale of two halves, is that not a perfect, Clayton, this question to you, is that not a perfect kind of setup entering practice this week for the team of, okay, this is what happens if you don't play well and you don't lock in and you don't focus and you maybe overlook someone, and this is what you're capable of. To be able to get that out of the way in the first two halves of the season is a great teaching moment.
Yeah, it's the blueprint. You've got the blueprint for success and the blueprint for failure. Now you've got the game that you can see, hey, this is how we need to play. This is what we can't do. Xavier, a 5-1 scoreline is so tricky against a team like Xavier, because Xavier is a really good squad. We saw Xavier come into the national tournament last year and give Carey one of its best games of the season. They beat a very good Tennessee Wesleyan team before that, and they're picked to win the Red River Conference again this year and probably will. And so Xavier is one of those teams that you will see in the top 15 in the country before it's said and done. To beat that team 5-1, with all five goals coming in the second half, really impressive. So, yeah, you've got the blueprint for success and failure.
Five different goals by five different people.
And shout out to Valeria Barajas, a goal and an assist on the day, coming back from injury almost a year and a half since she played last. Great to see her back on the field as well.
It really was. And surprising, Zalma Torres wasn't in the scoring column for that first match. I actually saw her in between their match of the guys, and she was on the phone with what I assume was a relative. And she was like, I got an assist. Like, she was excited that she got that assist, and she kind of got an assist but not credit for one on another one that she helped, you know, become a goal. So she was excited at the opportunity to be that team player, even if it didn't mean the goals were in her name.
Yeah, really kind of asked to play a different role yesterday, asked to play that number 10 role that Azarias played last year, and so just kind of trying to fill in all those pieces from those eight starters that have exited the team and graduated out. And so Zalma played really well. She's just going to have to grow into that role and kind of learn how to play. She's typically more of a winger using that speed, and so she's just going to have to become more of a dribbler this year.
Looking at the preseason rankings, where they're very much heavily predicated off what happened the year prior, with William Carey being two and Cumberland's being one, and then I went digging for Southeastern down at 23. Is Southeastern, is that kind of where they finished last year in the tournament, or is Southeastern a team that really lost a lot? They had a coaching change, because we know about Kaiser, Southeastern, some of those big games coming up in Foley very quickly on the calendar here in the first few weeks. What about Southeastern right now?
Yeah, you might have stumped me on that question just as far as where they finished last year, but Southeastern is typically one of those teams that's in the conversation every year. National championship team just a short time ago. So maybe have fallen off a little bit in recent years. I believe when they came to Foley last year, I want to say they were like a number 10, 11, or 12 team in the country. And so then maybe have fallen off a little bit since then. But still, I mean, any top 25 team in the NAI is going to be very competitive regardless. So
Tennessee Southern at number four. What's your thoughts there? What has Danny said about them?
Tennessee Southern is going to bring a really good squad to the SSAC this year. They've got a lot of returning players. They didn't lose a lot from last year. And I mean, national semifinalists last year, only lost to Carey in the national semifinal, or else they could have found themselves in the final. And so, yeah, Tennessee Southern going to be really strong this year. Life's going to be strong. They're going to bring a really strong squad back. They had a fantastic season last year as well. So the SSAC is loaded, and there's a lot of teams in that top 10, 12, 15 that are going to have some big talent this year.
All right, so we go from talking about the women who had a tale of two halves against Xavier to the men who kind of have a tale of two matches start off their year.
Yep.
You go from a high-scoring 4-4 draw against Louisiana State Shreveport, LSU Shreveport, and then a nail-biter 1-0 victory against Xavier on Sunday night. Clayton, you and I were discussing how Carey, for lack of a better term, blew the game against LSU Shreveport by just giving up some mistake goals there in that match, and could have had the win but ended up having the draw. All of a sudden you come out, you have a different keeper the next game, and you claw your way through it.
Yeah, just a few defensive miscues is the best way that I understand. And from my discussions, just a few defensive miscues that led to a couple of those goals against Shreveport. I think those issues are going to solve themselves as the season goes on. So I don't think that's anything to worry about necessarily. But it's really good to see the goals coming and to see because, again, last year it took us three games to see the first goal scored. And so then you flip the script to Xavier, really tough physical game. Xavier's a big athletic team, really strong defensively. And so to play as well as they did in that game, to finally get that goal from eventually Colby Godbolt, and what a goal it was, to show that grit and determination to get through that game and find a way to get the goal, it was just a fantastic performance from the boys.
Yeah, Josh, it was a pretty fun sequence for Carey in that men's match, because what you had was Colby Godbolt had an absolute laser beam of a shot from the left side of the goal, and hats off to the keeper.
Great save.
Zanola was terrific for Xavier pretty much all night long, and it was terrific last year. Gave up six total goals in 2023, and comes out here against William Carey, absolute nails, and he's able to save that big shot that Godbolt had off the foot out of that corner kick. And in the melee, ball gets out to the left side of the box. Keevan McConnell plays a great ball towards the backside post. And on a diving effort, Geibel just heads it in past the keeper. It was tremendous.
Yeah, I thought the ball was gone. It was a fantastic display of athleticism from Colby Geibold. You don't see many diving header goals scored, and it was just an incredible goal that he scored. He wasn't going to be denied. He played so great that entire game, and he was the one that deserved the goal for sure.
And you know, we were going from the two halves to the two seasons to the two teams, the difference in the two teams. Last year was the women with depth, the men with no depth. This year the women have that top-end talent, maybe not the depth that they want. The men have a lot of depth this year.
Yeah, they do, and they've still got players even coming back from injury as well. But you had Milo Stakovic come off the bench and play really well. You had Lionel Toro fill in for Teddy Miranda after the red card, played so, so well. You're still waiting on Roberto Rangel to return from injury. You're still waiting on Jack Greenwood to come back from injury. There's still some of those pieces left. So there's a lot to be excited about this men's squad because the depth is there and they're still waiting for pieces to come back too.
If this team continues to be on this type of a surge, preseason number 20, how fast is this a top 10 team?
Yeah, I mean, they flew up to number 6 last year, even with that lack of depth. So you'd have to think that if they can maintain that squad depth, put some good performances together, I think you're talking about another top 5 team in the country at some point this year if they can string the wins together.
It'd be a lot of fun if they do.
Yeah, it really would.
Well, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm very interested to see how this group continues to gel moving forward. You know, we mentioned how much more depth they have, kind of like what the women were last year. And just to think back about, you know, on the women's side, they lost 8 starters last year, a completely different back line. They lost Mary Angela Jimenez, and so all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what the forwards are going to look like. But they make it work. And the guys, likewise, learn from their mistakes of game 1 against LSU Shreveport, come back game 2, win another 1-0 victory over Xavier, just like last year. And so it's back to business as usual, fellas.
Yeah, good start.
Yeah, I think both teams are just going to have to grow into their seasons in 2 different ways. It's going to be fun to watch.
Will be fun indeed. All right. Well, Clayton, thanks so much for joining us here in studio. Absolutely. We'll let you get back to Brooke and Abby. And if there's still bedtime to help out with, or maybe if there's a little wake-up call, we'll let you help out over
That's
there at the
it.
House.
Appreciate you.
Hey,
guys.
Congrats on her crawling, by the way.
Yeah. She's moving. It's crazy.
Moving right.
Game on.
All right, so when we come back, Josh and I are going to continue a little conversation about soccer, but also talk about 4 matches of volleyball that happened over this past week. That coming up next as Crusader Talk continues.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right. Good to be talking with Clayton again about women's and men's soccer. Good time out there at Danny Owens Field, by the way. I mentioned it was a little hot for that first game. I was sweating in places I didn't know I could sweat, but that's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there.
Oh, goodness. But, yeah, it was so funny. When I pulled up, I mentioned looking at my car's temperature, but I looked out at the stands. I was like, why is nobody here? It's, you know, I got there a little later than I wanted to, but I was like, I'm not that far away from kickoff time. And then I realized, I don't know that anybody wants to just hang out 30 minutes before kickoff on hot metal bleachers in 100-degree weather.
Nah.
Probably not. Nah. Field looked great, by the way.
We've had the perfect amount of rain. We've not been in drought this summer.
It's been close to a drought here like in the last week or two, but just enough. And they watered it well, and it was in tip-top shape.
Completely unrelated side note. Did it get crazy weather-wise Friday night in Oak Grove?
I didn't notice
it. It was crazy in Petal.
Really?
A house got struck by lightning, burnt to the ground in my parents' neighborhood.
Goodness.
Yeah, so speaking of severe weather in the middle of – I mean, was there no chance of rain Friday or whatever, and then, or 10% or whatever, and then severe thunderstorm, electrical storm on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Now, what was so funny, I had some of my in-laws in town. My wife's sister and brother-in-law came in from Huntsville. They had dinner plans with a friend in Waynesboro on, I guess it was Sunday night. And anyway, we meet with them Sunday for lunch or whatever and say, oh, are y'all excited about your fun dinner with this person? And they're like, well, it's not happening anymore. It's like, what fell through? So this is getting back to this weather stuff. They said, yeah, apparently a lightning struck an oil well and they don't have running water at the guy's house.
How random.
How is that connected? The running joke was, if they didn't want to have dinner with y'all, you should have just said so. So make up this crazy, far-fetched story. But I believe it could be connected somehow. You know, either common electrical thread there or whatever, pumps, who knows.
But beautiful natural playing surface. Speaking of, that's kind of what the future is going to hold for. Remember, we've talked about HFC, mm-hmm. having a natural surface on one side, two-sided stadium, artificial surface, which they played on this year, but really get that natural surface up to par to where if conditions are ideal, they can play natural. If they need to because of a lot of rain, then they can play only artificial if need be because it's better on the knees, the ankles. Yeah. You can take a chunk of turf if you get fallen on the right way, and the turf gives and your leg can slide out rather than the knee giving.
Right.
So,
of course, that just means we're one step closer to the Hattiesburg Dome. Got to have an indoor venue for soccer and football one of these days.
You know, how almost, well, we've been artificial surface, though, but how close is the Ag Center down 49 almost from being able to play soccer on it?
I don't think it's wide enough.
Or is it long enough?
It's
a pretty big venue. I graduated there.
Yeah, I think length may be a problem, too. I looked up the dimensions required.
So it'd only be for indoor soccer.
Yeah. Little arena football. You could host hockey there. It's big enough for hockey. Basketball. Just maybe not football or football.
Hockey would be cool. Man. Hockey would definitely
be cool. I enjoyed going down there when the Seawolves were still just an idea to bring them back, and they were just trying to see, is there enough community support to bring a team back down there? And it was a lot of fun. When that Coliseum down in Biloxi gets filled up, it is intense and raucous, but I just don't know, with all the different things going on in Hattiesburg, if we could support hockey.
Well, I will say this. The Seawolves have one more year to prove themselves to the Coliseum, and then they will decide whether or not they get renewed or not.
Yeah.
But they've been having some stuff going on with their coach that I'm sure you guys have heard about.
Well, it's bye-bye M Braves this year. They're gone, headed to Columbus, Georgia. Yep. And then who's the other in the bottom two teams in attendance in the league? Biloxi Shuckers.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid when affiliate baseball leaves this time, that might be the final time.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, Shuckers have always been such a good time.
It's just 100. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's like you said, it's 100 degrees in the summertime. It's just not ideal to sit out and watch baseball.
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, coming up in a future episode, maybe as early as next week, got a fun tidbit today about the future of baseball at William Carey, a new addition to the facilities. We'll pocket that news and talk about that a little bit, but keep that in the back of your mind. Might be a fun thing to hear about soon.
Now, what about 72-degree weather in an arena on hardwood? That's going on right now. That sport is off to a very good start. Yeah. 3-1 for volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And we weren't talking about those type. It was a slow start. It was year one. It was everybody learning everything new, everybody trying to gel. And here to start year two, very quick start.
Yeah, very good start, I would say, for Rhonda Shirley's second year at William Carey. I'm just going to look back at last year, and you tell me how this compares. So they go to this Cumberland's Invitational little tournament. That was last year, or this year. Last year, it was the Kaiser Invitational, in which they did play Cumberland University, which is different from the Cumberlands, but it is Cumberland University. They played most recently this past week. If you're confused now, so am I. But anyway, in the Kaiser Invitational last year, an 0-4 start. They won one game in those four matches, then proceeded to lose their next three, in which they got only two games in that three-match stretch. Finally got their first win of the year against Faulkner in a non-conference matchup, winning 3-1. Got a couple wins here there, but the final record for that squad was 15-20 and finished below 500 in the conference, 7-8. So, fast forward now to 2024. And the first four-game stretch involves Cumberland again, Ave Maria, Missouri Valley College, and then Fisk University, all over there in Lebanon, Tennessee. It's the Phoenix Classic, they called it. 3-0 over Cumberland, 3-2 versus Ave Maria. They lost 3-2 to Missouri Valley, and then won 3-1 against Fisk. What a dramatic change to just the starting points of the seasons.
Well, completely different. Completely different type of year. Missouri Valley is one of those programs that always puts out a good squad. Clayton and I were commenting on that in the commercial, so that's not a bad loss there on paper. And for it to be in five sets, for it to go to that fifth tie-breaking set. So very much in that match, could have gone either way. So, again, I think now's the time to catch this team, but the talent is so much deeper. They've got so many more weapons. This is going to be a squad that is going to be something to deal with in the very top of the Southern States Athletic Conference going into to end the season, going into the tournament.
Yeah, might be better for the fans that sweat a little bit more like me if they want to catch some action. If soccer's not their thing, volleyball is very exciting and in a climate-controlled environment. And everything in there is cooled off except for the competition, because William Carey, to start off the year, off to a hot start. Hey, Coach Shirley pointed this one out to us about a newcomer freshman on the team this year, Sue Ellen Lima. Absolutely fantastic performance in those first four games. 63 total kills across four matches, earning her SSAC Attacker of the Week. Pretty stout performance to start off the year. And they've still got some of those pieces back from last year that were A-listers, such as Elena Anderson and Barbie Gedges. Those two were terrific to watch, but all of a sudden they have additions in a 6'1 player in Sue Ellen Lima to add to their arsenal, and she's not the only one either.
Well, and again, you mentioned some of those pieces. Injuries were such a factor last year. You're obviously going to have some attrition in year one as you try to fit everything in, and some players from the previous squad don't kind of see how they fit into the new system and may not really buy in, and so you'll have some of that. But now this, even more so, and almost fully, this is Coach Shirley's squad here in year two. And she was talking about it even late last year and immediately into the offseason about what the turnaround would look like, what it would feel like here in year two. And we're already seeing that. And you mentioned from a fan perspective, one of the things I've noticed at the high school level in Mississippi in particular, I have I've been so fortunate to be able to call those championships in recent years. They've moved those to campus sites. They've moved those to State and Ole Miss and rotated those venues in Mississippi College. And the fan, you have basketball crazy type student sections now. Yes. For volleyball, because you're having a point every time the ball is put in play with the rally scoring. It's not like where you go stretches in basketball where both teams are ice cold, turnovers, it gets a little sloppy, coach has to burn a timeout, and it gets out of hand. No, it is nonstop scoring, nonstop action.
Yeah, every single time your team has a chance to score, each team has a chance to score, somebody will get a point, and with that comes hanging on every single touch of the ball, whether it's setting it up at the net or digging a huge ball out of the ground. Everything has energy to it. Like you said, there are no cold spells. It is just straight up action. And looking back, I had to break down the play-by-play of the one loss Carey had. Obviously went to a fifth set because they lost 3-2. It was tied at 15 in the final game. Carey was down 15-14, tie it up. But that's when Missouri Valley was able to get the final 2 points and win that final game 17-15. But look at that. They're just a couple points away from sweeping the opening weekend of the year.
And I think that is what we can expect. I think that's what we saw. I think that's what all the coaches saw when they just – you look at a team that passes the eye test in terms of increased athleticism, increased size and height, players that have played internationally at an extremely high level. This team, because of so many Brazilians on this team, gelling quickly. Sky's the limit. This is a team that legitimately can compete for championships this year.
certainly can. They'll have Blue Mountain Christian to battle. That's one of the top teams in the conference every year. They're a school that takes volleyball very seriously, but I feel like this team has a chance to go through a Loyola, a Mobile. Mobile was a great match last year, at least at the Ben Wallace Sports Facility. But there are a lot of good opportunities for you to catch William Carey volleyball, but you're going to have to wait a month. You're going to have to wait till September when the Crusaders will be back at home. That will be on September the 3rd when you can catch them in Vinton.
Blue Mountain preseason number 31, tops in the conference. Kind of shows you where the Southern States Athletic Conference is needing to grow in terms of the national scene in volleyball. But still, you win the league this year. You compete for the league and win it. You can be a top 25, top 20 type of a program.
All right, coming up next, got to give our Seder of the Week award for the first time in a while, since now we have a whole lot of games to wade through to figure out who that should be. Also, we've mentioned a couple of them, but preseason national rankings came out, and we'll kind of break those down just a little bit as we wrap up Crusader Talk with you next.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment of Crusader Talk here with you on this Monday. Glad to be talking about soccer and volleyball. Break down now a little bit of a look at the preseason top 25. This was released back on the 14th, so just outside of when we were last on the air. On the men's side, we'll start there. And similar story to the women's poll that we've already kind of mentioned. Final two teams standing, also the final or our top two teams to start off the year. So Milligan coming in at number two, team that put Carey out of contention there in the second round. And then Mid-American Nazarene getting 18 first-place votes. They are tops in the NAIA. Dalton State, the highest-ranked SSAC team at number 5 in the national rankings, Mobile at 10. And then once you get down a little bit further at 20, you'll find William Carey. So those are the only three teams from the SSAC that make the top 25. LSU Shreveport, who tied Carey at 4-4, received votes. They had 44 of those votes. Carey had 178. I can't remember that's points. That's kind of the scale ranking of how they get those. Outside of Carey, Mobile, and Dalton State, those are the only teams receiving votes for the SSAC. One future team that William Carey will be facing is Louisiana Christian, and they also received votes. They had 39 points coming into this preseason. So that's a look right now at what is men's soccer. And when we look over now at the women's poll, I already kind of mentioned what the top looks like. Obviously, the Cumberlands, coming off of a national championship, they deserve to be number one, and that's why William Carey is at number two. So when you look a little bit further down at what was released back on August 14th, you see Tennessee Southern knocking on the door, right there at number four, and Life at number nine. So the top three of the conference, all within the top 10 nationally.
I mean, when's the last time it's been that good?
It's been a while. I mean, adding Life to the conference did wonders for the strength of overall women's soccer. And sometimes it's that parity you need in order to grow the conference as a whole. Because if you think about any conference that just has that one team that's really good in the sport, it doesn't benefit you as a whole. There's no competition there.
No, and it does you no favors. I mean, you look at the final season, the record last year, 24-0-1. Carey goes undefeated and loses in PKs in the national championship. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a team, you look at a poll like that and see the previous year undefeated and they weren't the national champions. So it's just very shocking. But you would love to be in some more of those battles. You'd love to lose a couple of those early when you can afford to, as long as you can still check all the boxes and get the seedings you want and get the hosts you want and do those type things. but to be in battles and to learn, to be tested, to maybe be exposed a little bit. And again, it goes back to what we talked about with Clayton a couple of segments ago. To have that type of match, to be trailing 1-0 at the half in your first game of the year, and then to be able to completely turn the match on its head and to come out and hang five up in the second half was so critical. But this team's challenged, and you hope they're going to be challenged a lot this year to be able to be ready for the postseason.
Also in the polls, a future opponent of William Carey's Kaiser coming in at 8. We heard earlier Josh mentioned Southeastern Florida at 23. Those two teams will be facing William Carey in that Orange Beach Classic, which Clayton was telling me that venue may have changed. It may now be in Pensacola. That or he was talking about the national tournament will be down there now. So
I think it's going to be in Foley. I was thinking they're going to play in Foley. Kaiser, is that coming up?
Yeah, that's coming up
in September 6th, 7th, that weekend.
Yeah, September 6th, Kaiser, September 8th against Southeastern. So that's a Friday-Sunday slate of games. Lindsey Wilson also on the schedule. Did not see that they were ranked, unless my eyes deceive me there. They do tend to do that from time to time. But outside of them, the only other one that I can spot right now that's receiving votes in the top 25 was Georgia Gwinnett. And Carey gets to play the Grizzlies on September 14th, and that'll be a road game for Coach Owen's bunch. So, time now to award Seder of the Week, Josh, and it's a tough one. Got our choices between two different players that were SSAC Players of the Week in their respective sports. Also have kind of an outside look at Barajas on William Carey women's soccer. She had an assist and a goal. It's tough. I, just because of how spectacular the goal was, and I meant to pull it up and show you, and I'll show it to you after the show, but Colby Godbolt's header game winner, I think, is so much of a highlight of a play for me, and he's gotten two goals in two games. I think it's worthy of not just SSAC Offensive Player of the Week, but also Seder of the Week.
I cannot disagree. And then, you know, with the volleyball nomination there being in the mix as well as an honorable mention this week, we're going to see multiple Seders of the Week from the volleyball court this fall.
Yes.
So get ready.
Should be good. And I look forward to hearing how Coach Rhonda Shirley and her bunch continue this upward swing from last year to this year. A contender in not just the regular season, but SSAC and beyond. The sky's the limit for that bunch. All right. When we meet again, we'll be talking more William Carey athletics. Maybe talking about some of that baseball news. We'll see if we can make that all official. May also finally get to preview the fight song for the university. That's getting unveiled this week.
Yes, 20th.
That's right. So until then, we look forward to a pleasant week. And we look forward to having you back here on Monday. For Dalton Stanford, Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night. God bless and go Seders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.